Picture a fuselage with no straight lines on it. No square windows, no place where the skin suddenly changes its mind about which way to curve. Just one long, smooth teardrop, fat in the middle, tapering to a point at the tail, with a propeller hung off the very back like an afterthought. It looks less like an airplane and more like a laboratory experiment that grew wings. That, more or less, is exactly what it is. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct, the show where we take the machines that are supposed to change flying, and we open them up on the bench to see whether the engineering actually holds. Today, we're talking about the Otto Aviation Solera 500L, the bullet-shaped airplane from a startup in Southern California that made a claim so aggressive that half the industry called it a hoax. The claim, in one sentence, an airplane the size of a small business turboplane that burns fuel like a nice pickup truck and cruises almost as fast as a jet. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made, hefty in the hand, and built to last. If you've got a rating you're proud of, or somebody in your life who just earned one, go take a look. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the one word that this entire airplane is built around. Laminar. Here's the physics, and I promise to keep it honest. When air flows over any surface, there's a thin layer right against the skin called the boundary layer. That boundary layer can flow in two ways. It can flow in smooth, orderly sheets, one gliding over the next like cards in a deck. That's laminar flow. Or it can tumble and churn and mix, chaotic and messy. That's turbulent flow. Laminar is slippery. Turbulent is sticky. The difference in drag between those two states is enormous. Skin friction from a turbulent boundary layer can be several times higher than from a laminar one. And on a normal airplane, most of your fuselage is dragging a turbulent boundary layer behind it, because the flow trips into turbulence very early and stays that way for the whole length of the airplane. Every rivet head, every door seam, every window frame, every antenna, every little step in the metal trips that boundary layer from smooth to churning. Once it trips, it stays tripped. So designers mostly gave up on the fuselage decades ago. They chase laminar flow on wings a little with what we call natural laminar flow airfoils. But the body of the airplane, we just accept the penalty. Otto Aviation looked at that and asked a different question. What if you designed the entire airframe, the whole fuselage, specifically to hold laminar flow across most of its surface? That's the whole bet. That teardrop shape isn't for looks. The pressure over a teardrop keeps falling as the air moves aft over the widest part, and falling pressure is exactly what keeps a boundary layer. Laminar, no sharp corners, no sudden steps. The windows are recessed and blended. The engine breathes through carefully placed inlets, so nothing disturbs the flow. The whole airplane is one continuous, obsessively smooth surface engineered to keep those sheets of air gliding as far back as physically possible. Otto says the result cuts total aerodynamic drag by something on the order of 59% compared to a conventional airplane of similar size. 59%. That is not a tweak. That is a different category. Now, what do you do with drag that low? You get to make choices that no other airplane in this class gets to make. Choice number one is the engine. The Calera does not use a turbine. It uses a piston engine, specifically a big German twin turbocharged V12 diesel running on jet fuel mounted in the tail driving a pusher propeller. Call it somewhere north of 500 horsepower. Now, on paper, a piston diesel sounds like a step backward. Turbines are lighter for their power, and that's why every business aircraft in this size bracket uses them. But a diesel piston engine has one killer advantage. It sips fuel. A turbine is thirsty, especially down low and at part power. A diesel is dramatically more efficient at converting fuel into shaft power. The catch has always been that a piston engine is heavy and draggy to haul around, so the fuel it saves gets eaten by the airplane it has to push. But if your airplane only has 40% of the drag it should have, suddenly that thrifty, heavy diesel makes total sense. The low-drag body and the fuel-sipping engine aren't two features, they're one idea. Each only works because of the other. And that's the number that made everyone's jaw drop. Otto claims fuel economy somewhere between 18 and 25 miles per gallon. Let me put that in perspective. A comparable light jet might get you 2, maybe 3 miles per gallon. We measure jet economy in pounds of fuel per hour by the thousands. Otto is out here quoting a figure you'd expect from a large SUV, for an airplane that they say cruises around 450 miles an hour and can fly across the entire continental United States without stopping. They put a dollar figure on it too. Operating cost of a few hundred dollars an hour against a couple thousand dollars an hour for the light jet it's meant to replace. That's not a discount. That's an order of magnitude change in what it costs to move people through the sky. The data tells an interesting story here, and it's worth sitting with. If those numbers were real and repeatable, this airplane wouldn't just be a nice product, it would rewrite the economics of regional private travel. You could fly six people 1,200 miles for something close to what it costs to fly them commercial, point to point off a small field. No airline needed. So, that's the promise. Now let's do the part this show exists to do. Let's talk about why smart people rolled their eyes. Here's what most people miss about laminar flow. Achieving it in a wind tunnel, on a polished model, on a calm day, is one thing. Holding it in the real world is something else entirely. That beautiful laminar boundary layer is fragile, almost comically fragile. A single bug splatter on the nose can trip it into turbulence. A smear of dirt, a scratch in the paint, a film of rain, a little bit of ice, a dead insect from the run-up area. Any tiny imperfection at the wrong spot can trip the flow, and once it trips, that slippery advantage rolls backward across the whole airframe behind it. This is not a hypothetical worry. This is the exact reason the industry mostly abandoned laminar fuselages in the first place. We've known how to draw the perfect low-drag shape for the better part of a century. We call it keeping the airplane clean. The problem was never the geometry. The problem was Tuesday. A working airplane lives outside, gets rained on, flies through bugs, gets fueled by tired people at the end of a long day, picks up grime, gets a ding on the leading edge. The question was never, can you achieve laminar flow? The question was, can you keep it on an airplane that actually goes to work every morning? That's the heart of the skepticism. Critics, and there were plenty in the trade press and in aerodynamic circles, pointed out that the 59% drag reduction assumes you're holding laminar flow over a huge fraction of the surface, and that inline surface out in the weather, you might lose a chunk of that benefit the first time you taxi through a swarm of gnats. Otto's answer is essentially that the design is more robust than the old attempts, that modern computational fluid dynamics let them shape the pressure field to be forgiving, and that their flight testing backs up the numbers. And to their credit, they built a real airplane. This wasn't a rendering. The prototype flew. It flew a lot of test flights, starting around 2019, before they revealed it publicly in 2020. That matters. Plenty of startups sell you a beautiful video of something that has never left the ground. Otto put metal in the air. But here's where I have to be square with you about the timeline, because that's the other half of an honest engineering review. A flying prototype is not a certified airplane. It is not even close. Between a proof of concept that flies and an airplane you can buy, sits the single hardest, longest, most expensive stretch in all of aviation. Certification with the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, building a supply chain, building a production line. Proving the thing is safe across the entire flight envelope, in ice, in failures, in every corner case, thousands of times over. And that's a novel airframe, with a novel engine installation from a company that had never certified an airplane before. That is a mountain measured in years and in hundreds of millions of dollars. Otto originally talked about certifying and entering service in the middle of this decade. That timeline has moved. The company has been notably quiet in recent years. They've spoken about scaling up to a larger version of the design and about the certification effort continuing, but the drumbeat of news slowed way down. And in this industry, quiet is ambiguous. Sometimes quiet means a company has its head down grinding through the unglamorous engineering, and sometimes quiet means the money got hard and the program is fighting for its life. From the outside, you often can't tell which until much later. So where does that leave us? As pilots and as people who like to know how things actually work? Let me separate the physics from the business, because they deserve different verdicts. The physics is real. Laminar flow drag reduction is not snake oil. It is textbook aerodynamics. The idea of pairing an ultra-low drag body with an efficient diesel is genuinely clever, and it's the kind of systems thinking I love, where the two hard choices only make sense together. If you could hold that laminar flow in service, the efficiency really would follow. There's no trick in the theory. The engineering risk is also real. And it's specifically about that word in service. The gap between wind tunnel laminar and rainy Tuesday with bug guts laminar is where this entire airplane lives or dies. not in the concept, in the maintenance of the concept, day after day, across a real operational life. That's the honest fault line, and no amount of enthusiasm erases it. And the business risk is the one that kills most of these. Certification is where bold aircraft startups go to run out of runway, not because the idea was wrong, but because the distance from a flying prototype to a delivered airplane is longer than almost anyone's funding. Here's the part I'd ask you to hold on to, though. Even if the Celera 500L never carries a paying passenger, ideas like this move the whole field, whether or not the company that launched them survives. The teardrop fuselage, the obsessive attention to keeping flow attached and smooth, the willingness to question a compromise the industry accepted 70 years ago just because it was inconvenient. That kind of thinking leaks out. It shows up in the next clean sheet design, in somebody else's wing, in a drag number that a big manufacturer suddenly decides is worth chasing after all. Aviation advances in exactly these strange, spiky, sometimes doomed swings at a hard problem. So I'm not here to tell you the Celera is the future, and I'm not here to tell you it's a hoax. Both of those are lazy. What I'll tell you is that it's a serious, physically honest attempt at one of the oldest unsolved efficiency problems in flight, and that the thing standing between it and history isn't the theory. It's a fragile boundary layer and a brutal certification road. Watch what happens when they meet the real world. That's where you'll get your answer. My thanks to Otto Aviation's own published figures, and to the reporting and skeptical analysis in Aviation Week, and the broader trade press that pushed back on those numbers, for the details behind today's breakdown. The healthy argument between the two is exactly how you tell engineering from marketing. You can find more of what we do over at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector, keep your airframe clean and your boundary layer smooth, and I'll see you on the next one.